بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم، ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. عاشوراء and these holy nights are an opportunity for us, all of us, brothers and sisters, to revert and repent and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the season of repentance and seeking forgiveness. It's not fitting for a believer to be self-reliant on his or her deeds for salvation, to think that I have done so many good things and I think I am on the safe side and I am going to cross the bridge and make it into paradise. We have also to rely on Allah's forgiveness and Allah's mercy, and we have to include always in our prayers the prayers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam used to repeat most of the time. Allahumma la tu'amilni bi'adlik, amilni bifadlik wa la tu'amilni bi'adlik. On the day of judgment, do not treat me with your justice. I don't want your justice on the day of judgment. If you incorporate your justice with me, if you deal with me with your justice, then I will perish. I will have nothing left for my survival. I need you to deal with me with your blessing, with your forgiveness, with your grace. Even the great prophets of Allah, their tradition constantly was persistence on seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We the Muslims believe that the most noble and the purest person on earth is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This great prophet, who never committed any sin, used to stand in his sanctuary throughout most of the night and cries and seeks forgiveness from Allah. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Until Allah addresses him طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. We don't want you to suffer throughout the whole night. Allah has forgiven all of your sins, although you do not have any sins, but sin in this particular verse means Quraysh thought that he is a sinner since he revolted against their ideals and against their culture and idol worshipping. They consider him as a sinner. So if the Prophet seeks Allah's forgiveness, the Imams, infallible Imams, we do recite Dua Kumail every Thursday night, hopefully. And in that, the Dua, the entire Dua revolves around one theme and one idea, and that is seeking forgiveness from Allah. Reverting to Him, going back to Him, repenting. And these days and nights, brothers and sisters, as we get close to the day of Ashura, these nights and this season is the season of repentance and tawbah and going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُوبُوا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you seek success, prosperity, progress in your life, if you want to be safe in your school, in your life, in your family, in your community, and excel, then go back to Allah. You have no other way other than going to Him. وَتُوبُوا, turn to Allah. التائب حبيب الله, the one who goes back to Allah and seeks repentance, is the well-beloved, the sweetheart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is waiting there for you. Allah will be excited. Al-Hadith al-Qudsi, the divine narration says that Allah is waiting for the sinner to go back to Him, to wake up and feel the regret and go back to Allah. Allah will be joyful and excited, so much so that if a person in a dark night, in an empty desert, totally dark, loses his means of transportation, his rahila, his camel, and he would think that he would never survive, he will die that night, and all of a sudden, that camel, that horse, goes back to him. Imagine how happy and excited he will be. Allah will be more excited when you go back to Him than that person. Allah is waiting for us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who go back to Him. He is waiting even for the sinners. What is the meaning of tawbah and repentance, brothers and sisters? What do we mean by that? What we are trying to achieve here? Tawbah and repentance in some theologies, in non-Islamic theologies and cultures and religions, sometimes in Catholicism, means that you go to the priest, a holy man in the church, and you confess. You confess what you did last night, the day before, the week before. Confessing to him, sharing it with him, acknowledging your guilt and your sin to that human being who is sitting behind the curtain, and then you will be forgiven, you will be atoned. In fact, in some other theologies, by merely believing in Jesus, you will be atoned. You will make it to paradise. By merely believing in Him, acknowledging His existence, even if you do not follow Him. In Islam, we have a different story. In Islam, repentance and tawbah means that reverting to Allah, since the sin takes you away, keeps you away, distance you from your Lord. You were close to Allah, the sin takes you away, farther away. So in order for you to go back to Allah, you have to repent. This is the meaning of tawbah. Because you can't afford to stay away from Allah. Imagine the traditional punishment for criminals in most of the countries and societies is imprisonment. Keeping a criminal, a murderer, behind bars, in the prison, incarcerated, keeping him away from his family, from his children, from his friends, from the rest of the society. This is a punishment for him. So he feels that he's missing something. This is his punishment. Imagine if you are away from a number of people, you will be suffering. How much people are suffering behind bars? They suffer a lot because they don't have the opportunity to communicate with their loved ones. Imagine if you are away from Allah, it will be even worse to be away from Allah, not to be able to communicate with Him, to enjoy His company. إِلَهِ هَبْنِي كَمَالَ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكِ يَا صَاحِبِي فِي وَحْدَتِي. Imam Zain al-Abidin, this is how he addresses Allah. Allah is necessary in our life. Allah is very important. He is our companion during our loneliness. يَا صَاحِبِي فِي وَحْدَتِي. We cannot afford being away from Him. It will be a big disaster in our life. Yes, sometimes we can afford staying away from our parents and friends and teacher, but not from Allah. So the sin takes you away. This is the meaning of repentance. Repentance takes you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ulama and ethicists and moralists believe that each and every human being has committed some sort of sin. Each and every human being is not free, totally free from sins. And they divide sins into three stages or three groups, ranging from the most extreme to the least extreme. Three main groups. Number one, sinning physical sin, sinning with your body parts, with your limbs. This is common among the people. People go and sin sometimes with the tongue, by their eyes, with their hands, with other body parts. One of the hadith says that each and every part of the body is sometimes involved in zina, fornication, adultery. Not only the private parts. Some other parts. فَزِنَ الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. The fornication, the adultery of the eyes is the lustful glance. This is zina. Don't think that zina is only special act. زِنَ الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. If someone looks at things which are haram to him, enticing, provocating him, he is committing adultery. But with his own vision. زِنَ الْعَيْنَيْنِ النَّظَرِ. وَزِنَ الْفَمْ. The lips, al-qubla, the kiss, the haram, the unlawful, is also considered fornication, a type of fornication. وَزِنَ الْيَدَيْنِ al-lams, and the fornication of the hands is the touching, the haram touching. So each and every part of the body has its own share of committing haram and sinning. So this is one type, the first type of sins, which is very common. The second one is less severe, but however, it is also considered a sin. And that is to harbor a desire to sin and commit a mistake. A desire. Even if you do not exercise it, as long as you harbor it in your mind, in your thoughts, it also would lead one day to fantasize. He might not be able to exercise it, either doesn't have time for it, surrounded by family members. They are putting him under surveillance, watching him. So he will think and fantasize in his sensations, in his thoughts, goes to bed and thinks about certain acts. This is also a sin. You may ask me, would I be punished for that, for just thinking about something haram? Is God is going to be punishing me? No, Allah would never punish you as long as you not exercise it. But remember that when you constantly engage yourself in the haram thinking, engage your mind in thinking and contemplating about things which are forbidden and haram and heinous, one day these things are going to materialize. And one day you're going to commit them. Because even those who commit sin, they did not go and drank alcohol from day one. They were contemplating and thinking and sometimes planning about the time and the place and who I am going to go with. The same thing with fornication. This is why Allah says about zina, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا in Surah Al-Isra. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Do not contemplate. تَقْرَبُ means not only do not exercise, but even do not contemplate in your mind. Because once you keep it in your mind, one day you're going to exercise it, and it's going to be materialized. So this is the second type. To harbor the desire. Second stage of sinning. And the least one is again considered the sin. And this is the ghafla, forgetfulness and mindfulness about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are heedless about the remembrance of Allah, the presence of Allah, Allah has to be present, brothers and sisters, in our heart. The hadith al-Qudsi, divine narration, states, قَلْبُكَ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُسْكِنْ حَرَمَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Your heart is the sanctuary of Allah. Allah chose your heart to live in it. Allah has so many places to live in them. But Allah is not contained. He did not choose a big palace or castle. Allah chose your heart. Your heart is very noble. Appreciate what you have. قَلْبُكَ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ The sanctuary of God. فَلَا تُسْكِنْ Do not bring evil into that sanctuary. Don't put evil in the same heart. Keep it clean and nice. قَلْبُكَ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُسْكِنْ حَرَمَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ Allah has to be with us all the time, and we are with Him. He's a transcendent, but yet eminent. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ We are closer to you than your parents, than your jugular vein. So Allah is with us. And if we forget about Him, this is again considered a sin, a ma'asiyah. And this type of sin strikes on the prophets and the messengers sometimes. Allah says about Yusuf alayhi salam, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ Satan came to him at a very, very, very critical time in his life. And this is how Satan strikes on us when we are going to make a very critical decision in our life. The shaitan comes and intercepts and interferes. He came to Yusuf when he was in the cell. When Yusuf asked his mate who was with him in the cell, that please when they release you tomorrow, remember my case to the Prime Minister. Tell him that Yusuf is innocent, did not do anything wrong. The shaitan at that time made him forget Allah. Jibreel came to him, said to him, Ya Yusuf, have you forgotten Allah's favor on you? When your brothers and sisters, when your brothers tried to murder you, who saved you? He said, Allah. When you were sold as a slave, who saved you and vindicated you from, released you, freed you from slavery? He said, Allah. From the fahisha when Zulaykha was chasing you and running after you to commit the fornication with her, who saved you? Who helped you? He said, Allah. He said, now you forget Allah at this time? And you come to this man and tell him, please help me? Why don't you go to Allah? فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ As a result of this forgetfulness. غَفْلَ غَفْلَ Fraction of a second. Didn't take him long. A fraction of a second. He was disconnected with Allah. A fraction of a second. If this mic does not work for a second, I will be disconnected from you. Imagine if we are disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen to us? نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Even the murderers of Imam Hussein, as I mentioned, they used to pray and recite the Quran, but they forgot about Allah and the presence of Allah in their heart. They forgot about that, which led them into that heinous crime, the murder of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, brothers and sisters, our ulama, our scholars, they divide the sins into two types and two categories. According to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you promise me, Allah says, if you promise me to avoid the greater sins, kabair, the cardinal sins, the heinous sins, I promise you to forgive you the small mistakes, the small faults that you have. Because we are not infallible. We are not infallible. And we have mistakes. But if we avoid the greater sins, al-kabair, the cardinal sins, Allah will be forgiving and merciful and generous and kind enough to erase the small sins or the small faults or mistakes. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. What are the greater sins, the kabair? Some of the ulama divide them into 10, some of them put them at 7, some of them say more than 10 or 7. They could reach 20 or 25 crime or sin. Allah mentions most of them in the Holy Quran. For instance, in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, Allah brings the three sins, mention them in one verse. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. Number one. Two. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Three. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُتْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And those, the three sins, those who do not invoke upon any other person or creature other than God, they only invoke upon God. They don't have any associates with God. They don't associate anyone or anything or take him as a partner to God. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ. And alhamdulillah, all of us here are believers in Allah. Yes? Inshallah. We believe in Allah. So we do not commit polytheism or shirk. But remember, brothers and sisters, polytheism or shirk is not only that you do not believe in God. Sometimes you might do believe in God, but still we do certain things or we have certain beliefs which lead at the end into shirk and polytheism. For instance, Allah in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, Allah says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of the community of the believers, though they believe in God, but at the same time they commit shirk, they associate others with Him. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes and he explains this verse for us. How come that I believe in God, but at the same time I practice shirk? I believe in the unity of God. Imam al-Sadiq says, once you think that, for instance, you have a job, and if you lose that job, you're going to starve to death. If your boss becomes angry with you, you lose your job, then you starve to death. This means shirk. This means that you distrust Allah. You think that your boss or the company that employed you is the sustainer, the cherisher. not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or, for some of you, especially the young community here, if you think that I'm not going to marry this girl, I'll be miserable for the rest of my life. I can't live anymore. Until and unless I marry her, or I'll marry him sometimes. Some of the girls, you know, they are so obsessed with some man, so infatuated with them that she thinks that if she does not marry this guy, she'll die. She'll have no future in her life. This is also shirk. Because he is just a creature. But the problem is that you have been obsessed with him. He's just like any other person. But you have been overwhelmed with a false, this is false love. This is not real love. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. This is false. So thinking that our life is dependent on other people, if you think that your life is dependent, your happiness, your food is dependent entirely on others, this is also shirk. This is the meaning of the ayah, that although some of them, they do pray, they recognize God, but they think that their life is dependent on others, while the real cherisher, the real sustainer, provider, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الذي يطعمني ويسقين وهو الذي يميتني ويحيين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, these are means, your parents who provide you are the means, the teacher who teaches you is the means. The source is Allah. Go to Allah, always go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is number one, shirk, the cardinal sin. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. On the day of judgment, Allah will never forgive the person who practices polytheism, shirk. But below that, Allah will forgive for whoever He wants. This is number one. Number two, murder, al-qatl. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. الله أكبر. If a person kills a believing person with no reason, intentionally with no reason, then the hellfire is going to be his abode eternally, for the rest of his life. That is his place. Not only that, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. He will receive the wrath of God. He will receive the curse of God. And cursing here, لَعَن, means Allah will keep him, exclude him from His mercy. He would never receive the mercy of God. God is the most merciful, the most compassionate. But such a person, a murderer who kills an innocent believer for no reason, he would never receive Allah's mercy. وَلَعَنَهُ, curses him, وَعَدَّ, on the day of judgment, وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا, grievous chastisement, عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. This is number two. And number three, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, fornication and zina. Brothers and sisters, fornication, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, has six consequences. Three of them appears here, and three on the day of judgment. The one, listen to this hadith. The one who insists on adultery and fornication, unlawful relationship with the opposite sex, unlawful relationship. This is fornication. The three consequences which appears here on the person, whether male or female, Allah يُضَيِّقُ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ. His sustenance will become tight. He will be afflicted with poverty, number one. وَيُقَصِّرُ عُمْرَهُ. And his life will be cut short. And When he leaves this life, he will leave it with disgrace. He would lose his honor and respect among his friends and family members and community members. These are the three consequences here. And the three on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu, يَغْضِبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He would receive God's wrath on that day. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the fire that you created, ilahi, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا عَنْ غَضَبِكَ وَانْتِقَامِكَ وَصَخَطِكَ. The fire that rages on that day, it is inflamed by your wrath, by your anger. He receives Allah's wrath. And وَسُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, his accountability, his judgment will be so severe, they would not give him any discount on that day. They will be very severe when they judge him. And the most miserable one, وَالْخُلُودُ فِي النَّارِ, he will be in fire forever. So it is up to us. Allah has showed us the way. And we read the Quran and we read the Hadith. And we have no excuse here. We cannot say, I did not know. So these are three crimes. Polytheism, murder, fornication are intertwined and interrelated. This is why Allah brings them in one verse. Fornication, false worshipping, shirk is an offense against God. Then murder is an offense against people, and fornication, zina, is an offense against one's self. You lose your self-respect. You lose your honor. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. A person, such a person who commits these three crimes, the punishment will be doubled for him or her. Doubled. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. Why doubled? Why is doubled? Our ulama believe that the person who insists on zina and murder, he does not repent. He's not doing that once or twice or three times. Constantly insisting on them throughout his life, he would never get a chance to go back to Allah. And the day that he or she die, he will die faithless without iman. Faithless with no iman. He would leave and depart this life. يخرج من الدنيا غير مؤمن. Someone who insists on murder, unjustified murder, and fornication, would leave this life with no faith. Without any faith. Because the two will lead into the third. The fornication and the murder will lead into the shirk. And if he does the three, يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. The penalty will be doubled for him. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. He will die in disgrace. He will not get the opportunity to go back to Allah. So he's not going to be charged with two crimes or one crime. If someone insists, listen to this, on fornication, he would never be charged only with fornication. On that day, he will be charged with two crimes, fornication and dying without faith. Shirk. This is why the punishment will be doubled. But, brothers and sisters, of course, I don't want to scare you. And I want you to be optimistic and hopeful. In Allah's mercy. We all have to be hopeful, and this is the season of repentance and tawbah, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah in the same ayah in Surah Al-Furqan says, illa, except, we would never punish that person who does three things. This is the process of repentance. Listen to it. It's very easy. If we are willing to go back to Allah, the process is very easy. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. We will bestow our forgiveness on the person who does the three things. Number one, تَابَ. Tawbah here means he stops what he has been doing. Stop the sin immediately. Don't continue the sin. This is the first step to stop the sin. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Second, وَآمَنَ. آمَنَ here does not mean he has faith. No. It has a specific meaning in this verse. آمَنَ here means that the person has been doing the sin for a long time. He got himself far from Allah. As we mentioned that sinning keeps you away from Allah. Distance you from Him. So he has to have this feeling of remorsefulness and regret and self-reproach, to feel sorry for what he did, to realize that what he did was a grave sin, and he lost so much things because of being away from Allah. He has to understand that, he has to realize that. Because some people tell you, it's okay, I will repent, but I don't think what I did was wrong. I still think what I did was right. But since my mother insists on me not to do it, I would not do it. No. This is not repentance. Repentance, the first requirement for repentance is to feel the pain here. To feel the remorse here. To regret what you did. An-nadam. An-nadamu ala ma mada. Illa man taba wa aman. The third, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. You have to restore. Because so far you've been destroying. So you have to come and rebuild. First of all, you have destroyed your soul and your spirit. We have offended our spirit. The spirit has been injured and offended and weakened and shaken. So you have to heal your soul and your spirit. How do we heal it? Go to the Quran. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٍ. In our religion, Allah says, do not share the secret of your sin with anyone. If you commit a sin, God forbids, don't go and tell your friend about it. Don't tell your husband, don't tell your wife, don't tell your son, do not tell your father, your teacher. Don't tell anyone. The only one who deserves telling and sharing the sin with him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not going to hold this sin against you. Because maybe the closest friend to you one day is going to betray you and go and tell what you did to others. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to protect you. Ya man adhara al-jameel wa satara al-qabih. Oh my Lord, who always makes me attractive in the eyes of the people. Show my good side to the people, and you conceal, you cover for me. Have you seen some mothers? They have some naughty boys and girls. So the mother tries to cover for her son. She doesn't want anyone to know about what he's doing. This is Allah. This is what Allah does to us. Allah tries to cover our faults. Ya man adhara al-jameel. He shows my beauty, but at the same time he conceals my ugliness. He does not let people know about what I do in private. So I do not lose my honor. So go and share that with Allah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Those who commit shameful acts. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Or otherwise wrong their own souls. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. They go back to Allah immediately. ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله. Can you find someone who will extend forgiveness to you and mercy to you other than him? No one. ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا. Allah is there accepting you, waiting for you to go, provided that you do not persist on that sin. ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا. And brothers and sisters, what is better than the shortest way to Allah is to have a private communion with Him, private discourse, munajat, to stand after midnight where all the family and the friends are asleep. It's only you and Him in a private, in seclusion. And you speak to your Allah, to your Lord. Perform Salatul Layl. You know what Allah says about Salatul Layl? Imam al-Sadiq says, Allah for each and every good deed has prescribed a reward. He mentions the reward, whether it's in the Quran, mentioned in the Quran, or the tradition, the sunnah of a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the reward for all good deeds have been mentioned, except for one. It is left open. Allah did not mention it. And that is Salatul Layl. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul shall comprehend or conceive or understand or realize the scope of our goodness and reward that we have preserved for them on the Day of Judgment. Those who perform Salatul Layl. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَطْرَةٌ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ تُطْفِئُ بِحَارًا مِنْ غَضَبِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Shedding a single tear, single drop of tear in the middle of the night, when you are in a private with Allah, having a privacy with Him, no one is sharing this with you. A sincere, broken heart, remorse, going back to Him, sincere feeling with Him will extinguish oceans and oceans of Allah's wrath and anger. So you have such good opportunity. Why don't you go back to Allah? Make a pledge with Imam Hussein. Tell him, Yabna Rasulullah, I am your servant. I am your follower. I want you to just have a glance of grace and mercy on me during this month, during these 10 days. I want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the season. This is the time for it. So, restoring and restoration. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ. Such people who restore, who go back to Allah, whether they have offended themselves or they have offended others. Because sometimes we offend others without noticing. Without realizing that I have offended this man, I said something bad to him. Namima, ghiba, tale-bearing, backbiting, false slander. These are the worst sins against people. We hurt their feeling. We have to go and restore. We have to go and apologize to them. Especially the namima and ghiba, backbiting. One of the greatest scholars died. And his son saw him in the dream after his death. So this pious scholar in his dream, he asked him about his place in paradise. He said, I am very happy here. I have no problem here. Allah has forgiven all my sins. But I have only one problem. Every night in the evening when night comes, he's in his grave, there is a scorpion which comes and stings me on my toe every night. And the reason for that, because I did only one backbiting against one of the believers and I forgot to go and apologize to him and seek his forgiveness because of only one sin. The scorpion comes and bothers me and stings me. Brothers and sisters, we have to think about these consequences. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Allah in that case will switch the sins into credits. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Let's go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. First, he was a commander in Bani Umayyah's army. And in fact, was the very first commander who confronted Imam Hussein even before the day of Ashura. He was sent by Ibn Ziyad to go and reach Kufa, reach the Iraqi territory before Imam Hussein can reach that area and intercept him and prevent him from going into the city of Kufa. And this is just what the Hur did, Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. But this man was noble because he had good seeds. And Imam Hussein alludes to this fact. On the day, on the moment of his martyrdom, the martyrdom of Hur, Imam says to him, مَا أَخْطَأَتْ أُمُّكَ إِذْ سَمَّتْكَ حُرَّةً. Because your mother nurtured you and raised you and educated you in a way that I know that your end and your conclusion will be good. It will be good. You will go back to Allah. You will get the opportunity of receiving Allah's forgiveness. You will get the tawfiq and the opportunity of repenting to Allah. This man was a hero. And he was one of the first people who stood before Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. He was standing and watching Imam's camp in front of him. But then he started shaking. One of his colleagues was standing next to him. He said to him, What's the matter with you, Hur? Hur, you are a hero. You are shaking here, Hur? He said, Yes, Wallah. Yes, indeed, I am shaking. لأنني أرى نفسي مخيرة بين الجنة والنار ولا أختار على الجنة شيئا. At this very moment, I look at myself standing in the middle, between paradise and hellfire. And of course, I would never, ever give a preference to anything above paradise. This is why I am shaking here. This is a very critical moment in my life. Between Jannah and Nar. Within a few minutes, I have to decide my fate. To stay in hell or to go to paradise. See, the light came to him from Allah. Rahmatullah reached him. Always, brothers and sisters, have this dua. Listen to this dua and say it all the time in your prayers, outside the prayers. Allahumma arzuqna ar-rahata 'inda al-maut. Always. And wal-maghfirata ba'da al-maut. And also always ask Allah your last moment of your life, your last day, your last hour, to keep you on the right path, not to slip and go away. Your last minute will be with the righteous. So Al-Hur alayhi salam, his heart broke and his tears started rolling down, and he started kicking his horse and going to the direction of Imam Hussein until he came and he stood. Imam asked him, who are you? Imam, of course, recognizes him. He knows him. He had an encounter with him just 7 days ago. Man ant. He did not say, I am the Hur, I am Fulan, the son of Fulan, this is my tribe, this is my ranks in the army. He admitted his guilt, and this is the manner of tawbah. When you go to Allah on the day of Arafat, when we stand in the desert of Arafat, the first thing we say, we do to confess our sins to Allah. We tell him we did this and this and this and this and this. We share it with Allah. So he confessed and he admitted his sin. He said, Sayyidi, ana sahibuka alladhi mana'tuka 'an at-tariq wa ja'ja'tuk bika wa bi ahlika ila hadha al-makan. I am the one who intercepted you. I am the commander who came to you and did not let you go to Kufa, reach your final destination. Of course, it was Allah's decree and Allah's design and a plan that Imam Hussein does not go to Kufa and he comes to the land of Karbala. It was preordained on Imam Hussein. So now, فَهَلْ تَرَى لِي مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Do I have the chance now to repent, or it is too late for me? Imam raised his head to him and said, Ya Hur, in tubta taballahu alayk. If you are sincere, if you are sincere in your repentance, of course it is not too late. Allah would welcome you, Ya Hur. In tubta taballahu alayk. Fanzil, come and join us. You are part of us. Come on board. He said, يا ابن رسول الله أنا لك فارس خير مني راجل وإلى النزول يكون آخر أمري. Since you have accepted my repentance and Allah is accepting my repentance and my record is clean, I do not want to delay myself anymore. Since I have been cleansed and purified, I need to go and meet with Allah immediately. I do not want to stay longer to commit another sin. So just to pray that Allah grants me the shahada and martyrdom. Imam Hussein prayed for him and gave him permission to go and fight. يا بن حامد خيل داخل عليك من ذنب العمل توملتجي ليك. يا بن حامد خيل داخل عليك من ذنب العمل توملتجي ليك. أنا الذي بدربك جعجعت بيك يا أبو السجاد ورعبت المداليل. يا من حبك فرض بالدين واجب تبت لله ودليل بنار ثاجب يقل أمن وحول يا راجب. يقل الساع ما هو محل تحويل إلك راكب يا أبو السجاد هالساع أخير من ننزل من الفرس للقاع. Gave him permission Imam Hussein. Few minutes later while he was fighting courageously, Imam Hussein heard the cry of hell. أبا عبد الله عليك مني السلام أدركني أبا عبد الله. I need you at this moment. And we all are going to need Imam Hussein at the moment of death. We all have to say السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. He greeted Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein rushed to him. Imagine, few hours ago he was the enemy of Imam Hussein and now Imam Hussein rushed to him. He stands on his head. Imam Hussein says to him, أبشر يا حر فما أخطأت أمك إن سمتك حرا فأنت حر في الدنيا وسعيد في الآخرة. Congratulations يا حر. Congratulations. Your mother was not wrong when she called you حر and free. You have been a free man in this life and you're going to be successful and prosperous on the day of judgment. This is one example of Hur. The other one, we have a plenty. Tonight is the night of the Ashab, the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has raised a companions who were champions of the truth and justice, who were unshakable, who were solid, who were solid like rocks and mountains. Imam Hussein alayhi salam say, Wallahi la, inni la ara ashaban khayran min ashabi. Wala ahla baytin abarra wa awsal min ahli bayti. Fajazakum Allahu anni khayrat jaza. I have never seen companions, disciples, more honorable and more better and more devout than my companions. Neither I have seen Ahl Bayt, progeny, family, who are so kind to me, so dutiful to me. May Allah reward you the best reward and the best jaza. We read in the history of Islam, brothers and sisters, that Tariq ibn Ziyad, when he crossed the Mediterranean from Africa to southern Spain, to Europe, Madiq Tariq, Gibraltar, at that time when he crossed with his army, he asked his soldiers to burn the boats and then to burn all the food, the ammunition, the supply, and leave just the supply and the food of one day, the supply of one day. And then he turned to them and he said to them, Al-aduwu min amamikum wal-bahru min khalfikum. The enemy is surrounding you, is confronting you, is standing before you. And behind you, the sea and the ocean, you have no escape route. You have no boats to go back to Africa with them. Also, you have no food. You have no ammunition. You have to fight today. You have only 24 hours to fight. Anyways, you are dying.
So it's better to die with the bravery. Let's conquer this land. And this is how he infused the bravery in them. He encouraged them. He left them with no option. And they had to fight to survive. We never hear that Imam Hussein alayhi salam coerced his companions to fight on that day. Never ever. On the contrary, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked them to leave him on the eve of Ashura. He stood on the night of Ashura, the eve of Ashura. He said to them, "Ashabi, هذا الليل قد غشيكم فاتخذوه جملا وليأخذ كل واحد منكم بيد رجل من أهل بيتي وتفرقوا عني في سواد هذه الليلة فإن القوم لا يريدون أحدا سواي." My beloved companions, I want you to leave me. I am the most wanted here. You are not wanted, so do not share the death with me. I want you to leave me and go. And please, each and every one of you, withhold the hand of one of my family members and leave. The night has fallen. Take the night as a cover and leave me. I would stay alone in Ashura. The first one who stood was Al-Abbas alayhi salam. He said, "Akhi Aba Abdullah, ila ayna nadhhab? Where do we go? Why do we go? Lina'isha min ba'dik? La khayra fi al-'aysh ba'daka Aba Abdullah. I find no goodness in leaving, in staying after you and living after you, ya Aba Abdullah. Why should I stay after you? I would never leave you." Burayr, another companion, stands and says, "Ya Aba Abdullah, wallahi law qutilt, thumma qutta't, thumma uhriqt, yuf'alu bi dhalika 70 marrah, lama taraktu nusratak." If I am going to be killed and decapitated and chopped into pieces, and my body will be burned, I would never desert you or leave you, ya Aba Abdullah. I will stay with you, ya Aba Abdullah. Those are the companions of Al-Imam Al-Husayn. Qadha ya qadha wa haqqil alayhum dun al-akhyam. قضوا حق عليهم دون الأخيام ولا خلوا خوات حسية تنضم لما طاح وتفايض منهم الهايام تهاووا مثل ما هو النجم من خار هذا الرمح بفادة تثنى وهذا به لن الشاب رنى وهذا الخير صدره رضربنى وهذا وذاك بالهندم والدار على الأصحاب يا قلب تفطير تهاوى ومثل ما هو النجم من خار. Al-Imam Al-Husayn, he stood looking to the right and to the left. No one stayed with him. Nada ya Muslim ibn Aqil, ya Hani ibn Urwa, ya Zuhair, ya Burayr, ya Ashab al-Safa wa Fursan al-Hayja. Ali unadikum fala tujibun wa ad'ukum fala tasma'un. I call upon your names, but you don't listen to me, you don't hear me, you do not respond to me. Ali unadikum fala tujibun wa ad'ukum fala tasma'un. Aniyam antum arjukum tantabihun. أم حالت منيتكم بينكم وبين إمامكم فلا تجيبوه فقوموا عن نومتكم يا كرام وادفعوا عن حرم الرسول هؤلاء الطغاة اللئام ولكن صرعكم والله ريب المنون وغدر بكم الدهر الخؤون وإلا لما كنتم عن نصرتي تقصرون ولا عن دعوتي تحتجبون فها نحن عليكم مفتجعون وبكم لاحقون فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون
قام يشيل بهم فوق صدره قام يشيل بهم فوق صدره يا ويمددهم على ربضته يا الغبره عقب ما صفهم نادى بعبره بصوت يلوج من العرش والكون ينادي وين ابو فاضل عبيدي يا ألف وصفة رحت خويا يا النادي يا خويا حنيتني والويت جيدي ودمع العين مني عليك مسفوح.
أسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Please raise your hand. Raise your hand. This is the manner of the dua when we are distressed. And this is what we say to Allah. The meaning of the ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرُ. O the Lord, the only one who can answer and respond to the distressed call of the distressed person. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرُ. So raise your hand and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, since your heart is broken and you shed the tears for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah would never turn you back. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن في كل مكان. اللهم اكشف السوء عن إخواننا وأخواتنا في العراق. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الدين هي السفلى. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبعه والباطل باطلا فنجتنبه. اللهم وفق علماءنا العاملين لخدمة دينك. أطل في أعمارهم سيما سيدنا الإمام السجستاني. اللهم أطل في عمره ووفقه لنصرة مذهبك ودينك وإعلاء كلمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وأجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.